On the opening pages of Louise Erdrich's new novel, The Last Report on the Miracles at Little Nohorse, we're introduced to the central character of Father Damien Modeste. He has spent the past half century ministering to the Ojibwe people on a remote reservation in North Dakota and keeping a deep secret. The 80-year-old Catholic priest is actually a woman named Agnes DeWitt. The fantastic idea appealed to Louise Erdrich because the story of a woman who assumes the identity of a priest offered the author the chance to explore such issues as assimilation, subjugation, and conversion on many different levels. Erdrich grew up in North Dakota, has German heritage, and is also a member of the Turtle Mountain Band of the Ojibwe. Although The Last Report on the Miracles at Little Nohorse is fiction, there was no actual Father Damien. Erdrich says the book is based on research, including missionary letters and journals.
Collecting the information is one of the best parts of writing. I love to collect bits and pieces of historical fact. I think I get this from my father, who loves to collect stories of failed North Dakota bank robberies, for instance. And I went through old missionary journals and letters from isolated clerics to their bishops. And it's not that I do some sort of big professional kind of research. I really pick through whatever I find. For instance, the part where the buffalo, on one of the last buffalo hunts, don't leave their fallen herd members, but stand, watch the hunters, and begin to make this tremendous sound of grief. That was from the journal of a hunter on one of the last buffalo hunts.
There's another scene, which I have read, was one of the images that actually was with you with this book. It was the image of Agnes floating down the river during a flood, wearing a white nightgown on top of a piano. Would you read that scene on page 39?
Once this river started to move, it was a thing that gained assurance. It had no problems with fences or gates, wispy windbreaks, ditches. It simply leveled or attained the level of whatever stood in its path. And moved on, closer. Water jumped up the grass lawn and collected in the flower beds. The river tugged itself up the porch and into the house from one side. From the other side, it undermined an already weak foundation that had temporarily shored up the same wall, once removed to make way for the piano. The river tore against the house from all around. And then, like a child tipping out a piece of candy from a box, the water surged underneath, rocked the floor, and the piano crashed through the weakened wall. Part of this book was written during that great, terrible flood that carried away so much of Grand Forks, North Dakota, and it was 97. It was a tremendous and very dramatic, what they called a 500-year flood, you know, something that only happens in a very long time. And I'm sure it was influenced by that flood, and my parents, of course, live on the Red River. They live in the town in which I grew up, Wahpeton. Always worried about the river every spring. We never knew where it was going to crest and whether the whole high school would be let out to make sandbags. In the summer, it's no more than a muddy trickle.
When you actually got into the writing of this book, when Agnes becomes Damien, and you actually will call them by different names as you're writing through, as we're hearing about what's happening in her, his life. Were they two separate characters for you, or did they finally blend into one?
They finally blended into one, but when Father Damien is with other people, people see him as Father Damien, so he's Father Damien. And when shocked back into an awareness of Agnes, there's Agnes. But when alone, unless she is thinking something specifically only Father Damien could think, then she's Agnes.
Yeah, was gender identity something that you really wanted to explore? Because, of course, Agnes says she's very aware of how she is treated differently as a priest.
It didn't start out that way. I only knew that I had this lifelong disguise. But as I went on, I realized, of course, she's going to be aware of the different way she is treated as a priest as opposed to a nun. And she is certainly going to have to change some of her habits, not to make a pun, but she is going to have to walk differently. I began to really watch myself and think about how I moved, and she does as well.
Mm. She has to, you know, make sure to lower her voice. And
you know, she makes compliments in the form of concessions, and she admires women's handiwork with copious amazement, shocked at how a woman can knit something or do something. Mm. And so she just watches and learns.
Just as the character is divided between sort of male-female, Damien, Agnes, there's also that conflict between Catholicism and the Native Americans, the Ojibwe. And I was curious to find, for example, that there's a scene where Father Damien is meeting Nanapush. At one point, Nanapush says, "What makes you walk behind this Jesus?" And Damien thinks, and he goes, "Love." And then you say, "But in Ojibwe, there is no word for love."
Well, I have to qualify that. There's no word for the kind of love that makes you give up your sexuality. Nanapush, the Ojibwe elder, finds this idea of giving up your sexuality in order to be close to God every bit as strange as woman taking on the disguise of a man in order to serve God.
Thus the conflict. I mean, if you've been reading missionary journals and such, and even your character Damien himself laments some of the conversion tactics, I guess, that for lack of a better word, when missionaries come onto the reservation.
Oh, absolutely. There was a Mary Daly quote was before me often as I worked on the book. It went something like, conversion is the most loving form of destruction. I have seen that in reservation settings. My members of my family were, of course, converted and missionized on the Ojibwe side. I've seen in friends and even in my own experience of Catholicism how painful it is to be forced to reject your physical self in order to be a more perfect human being. But I also am the granddaughter of a very interesting Ojibwe man. His name was Patrice Gorneau, and he was able to both worship in his traditional Ojibwe religion and at the same time be a devout Catholic. It's not always the case on reservations, but I really relied on that embracing sense of spirituality in forming the character of Father Damien.
We have to talk about music and the piano in this too, I think, when we begin to talk about Agnes and who she was and then who she becomes.
Yes.
Her music is something that obsesses her. I mean, early in the book, you have her essentially being possessed by the ghost of Chopin.
It is one of those pieces that comes out of my own experience. I wasn't possessed by Chopin, and I wear clothing when I play the piano. She plays naked at one point. But I was taught piano by Franciscan nuns as a child. I stopped playing for many, many years, and during the writing of this book, really for solace, and because I began to take lessons with a wonderful teacher who loved Chopin, and I loved Chopin. And I found that my old pieces were still knit into my fingers. And it was the most remarkable thing. I was so surprised that I could still play from memory. Hmm. I had stopped for almost 23 years.
You talk about playing the piano for solace. 1997 was not a very easy year for you. Your estranged husband, Michael Doris, committed suicide. Your whole life was put out in public. How did you survive?
Well, I should say it was a version of our life that I really don't recognize. And I chose not to talk to the media or to comment on it. All my being was really concentrated on getting our children through it. And that's something you do minute by minute. Mm. Then, you know, there's that one day at a time. Well, I was going 15 minutes at a time, and then an hour at a time. And now I think I'm back to one day at a time with her. And that's how you get through it.
Louise Erdrich, her new novel is called The Last Report on the Miracles at Little No Horse, and it's published by HarperCollins. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.